coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Just a good route and nothing too complex, you know?
You know, shopping baskets in front of the stairs so they'll fall to their deaths.
Nice.
Which would you eat?
That's a good question.
Hello!
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
It's us.
It's me. It's you.
Megan and Patty. Cryptid Addicted.
Yeah.
Addicted to cryptids.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I thought of a strap line. Do you want to hear it?
You got a strap? What?
I was working on a Cryptid Addicted strap line.
What's a strap line? Sounds like a sexual device.
It's a strap on. No, it's like, just do it for Nike. So we're in like,
like a slogan or something.
Yeah. Destination's Truth is something like, with a passion for archaeology and a something for something, I'm looking for one thing, the truth. Destination Truth. Yeah?
Okay, what's ours?
Yeah?
That's quite long. And who has a passion for archaeology? Nerd. Anyway.
Archaeologists? And they've stolen it, were like, with a passion for zoology. Okay, no. Anyway.
I don't have a passion for zoology. You don't even have any qualifications in zoology, fraud.
You don't need a doctorate to be passionate, Patty.
I didn't say qualifications in zoology. It's a passion for it. Alright, sorry. Go on. What's the slogan?
I don't know. I'm working on it still. Something like blah, 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 blah.
Shiny a strap on.
Something like, you can see how he became addicted. Cryptid addicted. I don't know. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to think of the first half.
But something about addiction.
I think we should use the word cryptid and addicted is my front running idea.
It's a crippling addiction. All right.
Anyway, happy second anniversary to you and to all of us and to the podcast.
Yeah, 2 years, bit over 2 years because we've been slack and we're a bit late. But yeah, wow. This is certainly our first episode as a two-year-old, right?
Yeah, exactly. As a complete babbling two-year-old, that's us. And we're doing an Ask Me Anything like last year, except we have prepared this time. We have sent that request to you guys, the listeners, in advance.
Wow.
In advance.
Planning.
And you guys, see, we're growing. You guys replied with some really, really cool questions that Patty has not seen. I've kept them to my secret self.
Because that's the abusive dynamic on this podcast. Yeah. As usual, Patty's being kept in the dark.
Where he belongs. In the small cupboard.
Yes.
Some of these are multiple questions from the same fans, but they're very good fans, and I couldn't choose between which questions because they're all real good. So,
do we have any creepy fans yet? You know, when you get like big enough, you get like 50 fans. There's always one weirdo there who's like, "What are you wearing?" or whatever. Do we have any of those?
I don't know what constitutes as a creepy fan. I don't think so.
Because that's when you know you've made it, when you've got a creepy fan. Unless you're unlucky, like your first fan's creepy. But
I mean, I'm a creepy fan. I follow a Facebook group called Josh Gates' Scarf, and it's literally just full of thirsty ladies and some thirsty men talking about how great he is.
Wow.
So check me out on that. Nothing wrong with a creepy fan, Patty.
All right, sorry. Let's dive in, as you were saying.
Head first.
Let's dive in.
Okay, so this is from Chris in the Sheets from Instagram, and it says, "What's your favorite cryptid?" The obvious question, right?
What's your favorite cryptid? I hate all cryptids and cryptozoologists. No, I'm kidding. It is tricky. I'm going to need a minute. Do you have an answer off the bat?
I probably should have thought of these questions in advance, but I didn't. Keeping it fresh with unpreparedness.
Fresh.
Favorite's an interesting word, because, I mean, why is something your favorite? But I'm going to go with, if I had to have a favorite,
I have favorite animals, but like, is my favorite cryptid like my favorite sounding creature, or is it my favorite because I think it's like, I think it's real, and other people don't realize it's real?
Totally,
like,
up to you.
What are the criteria?
I can't get into that for each question. It's up to you. Just your favorite for all the different criteria. What scores the best out of 5 criteria that you've concocted in your head?
I'm confused. You go.
Okay, I'm gonna say the Shintuction, because
the Shintuction.
I changed my answer. I'm gonna say the Fangalabolo.
Hang on, remind me what the Fangalabolo was.
The Fangalabolo is the giant bat in Madagascar, which translates
to... Oh, the vampire bat.
Yeah, hair ripper.
Yeah,
because
right.
A, great name, Fangalabolo. B, yeah. Totally legit skis. They found like a claw and it's like viable and it's cool.
What else could it be? Yeah, 3, and then it had that sculpture. You remember the terrifying sculpture?
That was my cool. Number 3. You
that
have
was
the same wavelength.
Yeah.
That was cool. 4, that sounds... I want to go to Madagascar. Sounds great. I don't know. 5.
You don't need that many reasons.
Okay, yeah, I've run out of steam. You're good.
I think I like Nessie the best, because it's, like, obviously not real. But it's nice that it's there, you know? And everyone's still like, oh, you go to Loch Ness, maybe you'll see the monster! Even though no one believes in it, you know?
Nice.
My second pick would probably be the Chupacabra, because similarly ridiculous. Except more people believe in that sincerely who haven't, like, looked into it properly.
Yeah.
So that's why I pick Nessie. Nessie's like, it's a comfy cryptid, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cute one.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, there's a great, that great story about, like, Marmaduke Wetherill, the guy who did the surgeon photos, and it's a good story.
The guy who had that, like, rhino hoof cigarette thing.
Okay,
cool.
Question 2. Okay, this is from Sam. Great name. Sam Wise Full Throttle on Instagram. So wise.
Hang on, I've been playing World of Warcraft recently and there was a guy there who had an amazing name. What was it? It was Dildo Gaggins.
Oh,
I just thought it was so funny. He was just like wandering around in the world with this name. Anyway.
Oh, if I ever become a porn star, I'm stealing that.
Anyway, sorry, what does Samwise Full Throttle have to say?
Okay, he says, what got you into cryptids? Like, did you read about them much as a kid? And how interested was Patty in them before you roped them in?
excellent. Good question. She's honed in on the truth.
I'm laughing throughout this. How interested was Patty in them before you roped him in as your skeptic?
Nice. All right, I will probably go first there because it's an easier answer. I was not interested, not because I was uninterested, just because, like, I mean, I'm not interested in, like, pottery either, because I've never tried it. I had no real connection with cryptids, except that, none. Like, you'd shown me some animal shows before, like, you were into that, like, fishing stuff and the...
River monsters.
Yeah, and I like Nat Geo and whatnot, but yeah, never, nothing cryptid related. And there was, what was the first part of the question?
What got you into cryptids? Like, did you read about them much as a kid?
Oh, yeah, no, you roped me in. That's it. That's what got me
literally his words.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming.
I assume your answer will be better on this one.
I'm not sure how I got to cryptids. As a 10-year-old, I got a book on ghosts and hauntings, and I had a few ghost parties, which I think you were invited to a couple. No, maybe not.
No.
Maybe one in year 7.
I was in England.
I'll look through photos and see if I can find a photo. Anyway, I used to have ghost haunting parties where you go and, like, look for ghosts with your friends as a little girl. But I was too scared by ghosts and I wouldn't sleep and it was freaking me out. So I liked the mysterious But ghosts were too real, so I think I transitioned naturally into cryptids. I've always loved animals.
And I need a less full-on conspiracy to buy into. This is stressing me out. Yeah,
I need a monster I can trap behind a cage. And then I think I got obsessed. sorry, I just heard myself. When I saw, as I always talk about, Destination Truth, that was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And Josh Gates is great. It's like a TV show where Josh Gates, who has a passion for archaeology, travels around the world looking for different cryptids. And it's just really fun and funny and beautiful because the country and the world is beautiful and adventurous. And I was like, I'm into all of this. All of this.
You can't see it because this is a podcast, but Megan just did a double chin kind of thing with excitement.
I was doing a head bob. I'm like, yeah, great. I'm being sexy with my head bobs. No, I was apparently being like a bit
sexy in a sort of Jabba Leia kind of way.
Fat bastard sort of way. Yeah, great. Okay, next question is by Sarah Rar, one word, via email. And she said, how did you two meet?
Oh.
Would you like to?
Yeah, we went to the same high school. So, International Grammar School, if you want to, like, be a stalker. And it's in Sydney.
So you turned up in year 8, which is...
No, year 7. I was there year 7.
Year 7?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I came in year 7. We were friends for a bit. She was dating a guy called Greg, who I bullied.
I wouldn't say dating.
And then they broke up, and then we dated for a little bit in, like, a cute year 7 way, like, hold hands, like, go buy sushi at the mall.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And then
that
we had
cute.
A dramatic year 7 breakup where you the necklace I bought you in the bin. It was a super cheap necklace.
I forgot about that. That's a horrible thing for me to do. I don't remember you getting me a necklace. You've just resurfaced this memory for me. Why?
Well, you dramatically threw it away in front of me, and I was like, I'm gonna
so mean.
Play more computer games, I guess.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. And then we're just friends after that.
I remember our date though.
Yeah.
We watched Zathura. And you turned up, which is a movie for context, we went to the movies, and you turned up with an iPod around your neck, like a necklace. And I was like, why has he got that on easy access? Am I that dangerously boring that he's going to have to whip out his...
I don't look cool. Like, I listen to music, which I didn't. Anyway, that was so funny. Cute. That's how it began, and then we were just friends since. So that's like, that happened in year 7 when you're like a 12-year-old or something, 11-year-old? Yeah.
12.
And went out 20s, so that's like 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So long ago.
So long.
Nearly 2 decades.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story.
That's how we met. School. Stay in school, kids. You'll meet your podcast future co-host. Anyway. Okay, this is Jess from Facebook. She says, if Paddy had to fully believe in one outrageous cryptid, what would it be and why?
I wouldn't believe in an outrageous cryptid by definition, because it would be outrageous to believe in it.
Okay, well, is there a cryptid that people are like, that's outrageous, but because of my fantastic evidence, you're actually like, you know what, could be legit.
Who?
Like maybe the Lagerflotsamur from episode 1. Pretty outrageous. A giant worm? Puh.
Poor.
How about the Murfreesboro mud monster?
Murfreesboro? What the fuck's that? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That.
Okay.
That one exactly meets the criteria that this question has asked. Yeah, the Murfreesboro mud monster. I reckon there's something going on there. I don't think it's a new species of thing, but
Bigfoot.
Yeah, I don't think that. There's just a lot of evidence, like really good evidence, police reports and stuff. And it starts off like your normal cryptid story where it's like some people saw some weird stuff in, you know, bumfuck nowhere, America. But then it turns into this, like, wow, something happened. It could be. I've been burned before by large groups of authority figures conspiring together to lie. Namely, the ship full of sailors who said they saw a pterodactyl. That ruined my reputation for a while. So it could be the Murfreesboro police are also just having, you know, pulling everyone's leg. But they had the actual filed police report, so they would have, you know, it's bad if you're filing false police reports, a lot of them. So, yeah, that one. That's okay. My answer.
Okay, cool.
Do you have an answer?
I've got my answer.
Oh, what's your answer?
I don't know if it's outrageous. Okay, maybe it's not outrageous. No, fuck it, it's outrageous. The marsupial lion. I've come around. That was my pterodactyl moment where I said, oh, it doesn't exist. It does exist. I was wrong to say it didn't. It's like, it's episode 14. Basically, it's a marsupial lion that did exist in Australia, but it went extinct, supposedly, but people still see it today. So, okay. I think
you're trying to relitigate that issue, but okay.
I won't poke the bear.
All right, cool. Good question.
Okay, so this is a similar question from Jess in the Sheets Instagram. Again.
Jess in the Sheets? We had a Chris in the Sheets earlier.
Oh, it is Chris in the Sheets. I just can't read. It's the same Chris in the Sheets.
Okay.
We got a lot of cool questions from Chris, so
okay,
expect
cool.
that. So it's a similar question, but what is the most preposterous cryptid you've heard of?
Oh, it's got to be the New Delhi Monkey Man.
Yeah, probably. That's pretty stupid.
That's so dumb. Actually, the like, goat man with the axe that like hypnotizes people into walking across the Clarence.
The Pope-like monster.
Pope-like monster, yeah. Both pretty ridiculous. I don't know, what do you think?
There's some pretty great ones out there. I mean, I don't know if it counts as a cryptid, but you know, like the yokai in Japanese culture.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot in there, like that giant foot.
The butt balls.
The kappa. No, that's not too. That's pretty legit. I don't think that's too preposterous.
Well, what's the yokai? Like, I was thinking of the kappa. I just forgot the name.
It's like yokai means like spirits, monsters. It's like an umbrella term in Japan.
Okay.
So there's lots of different ones, but there's one that is, I can't remember the name, but it's a giant foot that crushes through your roof and demands that you clean it. So stupid.
So that's the kappa as well, I would vote for, is preposterous.
It's just a creepy old man.
Because not only do you have to believe in that there's this demon that hides in toilets and puts its hand up your butt, you also have to believe that all humans have a ball inside them that is where your soul is kept.
Shirikodama.
Which is even more implausible. Anyway.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, this is from Jess on Facebook. Megan, if you had to disprove any really popular cryptid entirely, which one would you disprove?
Easy piece. I know you're...
Why would you do it? What do you think my answer is?
Chupacabra. You hate the chupacabra.
I don't hate the chupacabra. I think a lot of innocent dogs and foxes die because people shoot them. Because they're just sick with mange. I have more of a hatred for a popular cryptid that you should probably know about. Yeah. It was an early one, but I'm passionate.
Huh. As in, you think it's not real.
I think it's not real. I think it's gross. I think it's stupid. And I think we should all move on from it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. What is this?
The Mongolian death worm. Fuck off.
What? So, why is that gross?
It's like a giant intestine worm.
Yeah, but it's not real, so...
It doesn't need the time of day, right? It's stupid.
No one believes in the Mongolian death worm. That's not something that has widespread credibility that you need to function.
I've had several fans say, why do you hate the Mongolian death worm so much? It's a cool cryptid. It's not a cool cryptid. I hate it. I just hate it. I don't know why. It's like that person on the bus who's breathing too loud. You're like, I hate you. Oh, I hate that person.
It's one of those people, they walk into the room and you're just like, God, fuck you.
Exactly. That is the Mongolian death worm.
It seems a lot like Dune. Have you read the sci-fi books?
Yeah.
The Dune series? Yeah.
Yeah, that was based on the Mongolian deathworm mythos.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and Tremors.
Huh.
Hmm.
For real, for real?
Yeah.
Not the other way around?
No. Mongolian deathworm is an old cryptid.
Okay, and Frank Herbert said, I have based this on Mongolian deathworms.
Yeah, me and Frank go way back. We chat about all the time. And then, so the second part of that question is, why would I disprove it? How? I don't know. Just go around, dig in the sand in the Gobi Desert and be like, not here. Look, not here. Not here.
It's not there. I checked the whole Gobi Desert. Not here.
Not here.
Because I'm passionate about zoology. I would pick Chupacabra, and I would disprove it but pointing to the fact that, like, no one thought it existed until that one, like, famous broadcast about it.
That's true.
Like, it all came from one place. So, yeah, I mean, either Chupacabras, like, also happened to become hugely numerous at the same time as this broadcast, yeah. Or it's, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's true. All right. So this is Lars from email. He says, nerd question coming your way. Do you think... Oh, sorry. I thought it said, do you think Edna will totally shake the cryptozoological landscape? And I was like, who the hell is Edna? But then I realized he means, do you think eDNA will totally shake the cryptozoological landscape? So do you know what eDNA is?
I do not know what eDNA is.
So DNA, obviously, is our biology makeup stuff. eDNA is a new method where you can basically take samples from trees, dirt, streams, like fresh water is perfect, and look at all that. And so as a human being, as an animal, as a Bigfoot or whatever, we are constantly shedding cells. So that sort of eventually filters down into the dirt or the water systems. So you can test the water systems and look for DNA of animals inside that ecosystem. So for example, they did a big eDNA survey on the Loch Ness, and they were looking for plesiosaur DNA. They found heaps of eel DNA. They have found heaps of, like, fish DNA, but no plesiosaur DNA. So it's basically like, instead of needing to find a hair of a Bigfoot or a footprint of a Bigfoot or blood of a Bigfoot, they can just keep sampling the ecosystem that this Bigfoot apparently lives in, and eventually they might find eDNA of a Bigfoot or an unknown primate, for example.
Okay.
So the question is, do you think it's going to totally shake the cryptozoological landscape?
Well, I mean, I only just learned what it is, and I don't really know enough about it. What do you think?
Right now, I don't think there's enough people who have the capabilities of doing eDNA sweeps to go out and do that for a cryptozoological purpose. But if, for example, the job is for a scientist to go into some sort of forest in America to sample and see how many wolves there are, then they might come across some unknown DNA and it might work that way. We might find different species around the world accidentally. That's awesome, but there's definitely not a push
right
now.
Can I ask a question? Do you have to know, like, the DNA pattern you're looking for to be able to identify it in eDNA? Or do you look at the eDNA and then you're like, oh, there's a mystery thing here that's got to be a Bigfoot?
Something. I'm not knowledgeable enough to answer that, but my opinion is the second one. That's how I assumed it worked, but now that you've said that, I'm not 100% sure.
So, like, when you find mystery stuff, can you tell from, like, the shape of it or whatever what the mystery animal is, or is it just like, well, there's something there that we don't know what it is?
Probably the second one. So, for example, the recent questions episode that I just released, questions 10, I asked what was the most likely cryptid to be real. And I talked about the orang pendek, because, of course, that is legit. Mm-hmm. and they found hair samples, and they compared the medulla, which is like the white blobby bit at the end of a hair when you pull out a hair on your skull, mm-hmm. against like rhinos and macaques and fucking so many animals, like chimps mm-hmm. and orangutans. And they compared all the different medullas. So they had DNA that they were looking at, and they were like, this is the unknown hair. And then they had all the known animals, and they compared it, and nothing matched. So they did have DNA that they could be like, this is DNA of something. Mm-hmm. But it didn't mm-hmm. match anything, so it is unknown DNA. So I'm assuming it works the same way of eDNA. They say they know what DNA looks like. They'd be like, that's something, but it doesn't match anything.
Right.
So that's why I think that, but I'm not a scientist. So if anyone is a scientist, let us know.
It's interesting. My only observation here, knowing nothing, is that even if eDNA sweeps did become really widespread, there's going to be a segment of the crypto community that just continues to believe and be like, well, how do we know you didn't forge the eDNA sweeps or whatever? Or like, maybe Bigfoot never pisses or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's that whole thing of like, you can't prove a negative, right? So if you never find any DNA in the Loch Ness of the Loch Ness monster, you can still be like, well, he didn't shed cells there. Like, he's elsewhere. Yeah. She's elsewhere, whatever. Yeah.
Or she just doesn't shit. You know, you can always add an additional thing that she's would explain too busy why there's no evidence.
Living in the wormhole over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Next question. So this is from Ponder878 from Twitter. He says, hi, Patty. Or she, actually. This is a who knows.
Ooh, to me.
Hi, Patty. Yeah.
Ooh.
Hi.
Hi.
If someone... okay, all right.
Why 878? That's my question for this person.
Maybe they were born in 1878.
I think that's unlikely.
Yeah, me too. Okay, hi Patty. If someone goes to the effort of taking... Oh, sorry. If someone goes to the effort of... Nah, I fucked it. If someone goes... I want to do this right. If someone goes to the effort of talking about their sighting and the tale is full of emotion, specifics, and conviction, regardless of the thing that they saw... would you be more inclined to believe them? P.S. Obviously, internet stories are hard to buy, but what would your reaction be to that?
Interesting question. Oh. Wait, are we talking about in person, or are we still talking about potentially online, but just with emotion specifics and the rest?
My impression they're talking about in person, but why don't you answer both?
Okay. In person, I'm a terrible judge of who's telling the truth and who isn't. But I have met a lot of people that I know make shit up. And when they make shit up, they do so very with lots of emotion and specifics and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of online, that's a really good question. So, like, if you come across a story that's clearly a cut above your normal just internet thing where it's like, I saw a monster, and it's lengthy and makes sense and...
the grammar is spot on.
Yes, that's what I'm really looking for. But no, but like internally consistent, like it's a long narrative and like it holds together. There aren't bits of it that you're like, wait, but if that was there, then how did that happen? And yeah. And especially if they're willing to like if it's a Reddit and they're willing to like answer questions people ask about their story and provide more detail, and it doesn't seem like they're just spinning it further out, then yeah, I would be slightly more confident, but I don't think that is a great indicator that the thing is true, because there are people who are deliberately manufacturing fictional stories and they have an incentive to make it seem as plausible as possible, and they will make it really detailed and full of emotion, and they will try and do all of the things that make a story seem plausible. And there are some really good liars out there. I don't think they're doing it like just to fuck with people necessarily. Some of them are doing it because for attention. Some of them are doing it because there's something a bit wrong with them. I remember like there is a story that we came across on Reddit recently. I forget what it was. Sorry, it was in one of the like Eastern Europe somewhere, and it seemed like this really good story. And then I went, did some digging on the user account on Reddit, and it was full of stories about cryptids and then like ghosts and then like other just like conspiracy theory things. And then there were a bunch of posts about like, I'm really depressed, like I've considered killing myself. And the more you looked into it, the more you're like, okay, actually, this guy is just... Like, it's definitely... all this stuff can't be true. He's making stuff up. And there's probably something a bit wrong here. But the first story we read, it was like, wow, this is really convincing. It checked all those boxes. It was a good piece of fiction. So, yes, the answer to the question is yes. I would add, it would make me slightly more likely to believe that it's true if it does all those things. But I don't think you can use that as a strong indicator of truth, which is why, in general, like, people's testimony and stories about sightings, I don't give it much weight, because the best it can be is still not that great as evidence. You need other evidence to seal the deal, I think.
Cool. That's very thorough. All right, then. Okay. All right, this is going to be fun. All right, so this is from Malachim Tarrett on Instagram, and they say, if you and Patty each had to pick a cryptid to marry, who would you choose and why? And then I thought, let's play Shoot, Shag, and Marry.
Shoot, Shag, and Marry, yes! That's a good one. All right, okay.
And then it appears that I have thought about this lengthily and written my answers down, so...
I like that you didn't have answers prepared for, like, any of the other ones. Like, what's your favorite cryptid? And you're like, oh, we're going to have to think about that for a few minutes.
But which character, which cryptid would you bone? I'm going to write that shit down. All right. I'm very happy with my answers. They still ring true for me. So, okay. Do you want some thinking time and I'll talk about mine, or do you want to...
Yes, please. Okay. Talk about yours.
All right. Shoot, Mongolian deathworm. Easy. All right.
Easy.
Shag... I've got Clarence the Popelick Monster.
Ooh.
Do you remember that, like...
there was a lot of, like... something a bit sexy about the name, the Popelick Monster.
Yeah, and there was, like, that erotica about
With the six-pack and everything, like the shredded Popelick Monster. But I remember also a lot of the sightings were, like, he stinks. The stench is awful.
Yeah, but some of the, like, artwork, like, there was some deviant artwork that we looked at, and he was, like... shirtless and like buff, and he was like carrying an axe and a bit like rugged and dirty, and I was like, stop now.
I remember.
Anyway, and then Mary, I have two answers here. I've got Shuntuction and the Yowie, or polygamist or monogamous, whichever one it is.
Polly.
I've got Shuntuction because I thought it would be really nice to have like a big like liony sort of husband who like you could ride around and like you'd be like a partner in crime, you know, you'd be like, hey, Shuntuction husband, let's go over here and investigate the chupacabra. But then I thought the Yowie is quite a cool like husband because he's like big and strong and like can
he
help
like
you
shit.
Like
he's literally covered in feces like most of the time apparently, and he throws stones,
huh? But he'd like provide.
He sounds like a like an abusive husband, like on the couch covered in beer and he just stinks and he like throws a can at you.
Isn't he like the closest equivalent to like that primeval, like, you know, man make fire, man provide kangaroo meat.
That's what Megan wants in a partner. just a good root and nothing too complex, you know?
All right. Yeah, if he smells like poo, I'll go with Shuntuction. They, like, lick themselves, right? Because, like, they're a cat, so they're, like, keep themselves clean.
Yeah, keep themselves
clean. And then I can ride it around, be like, hey, I'm lazy. Let's take me to the shops.
All right. This is interesting. Okay. Mary, the Scandinavian Christmas cat.
The Yule cat?
Because... that'd be fun. It'd be like Christmas all year round.
Doesn't it? It eats people.
Fuck. Maybe the kappa because it's cheeky.
Yeah, you get that butt ball.
but it might kill me, right? It might pull out my butt ball. So no, not the kappa.
No, if you remember, if you trick it and like bow and it bows and the little pool in its head, the water spills out and it like freezes. If you fill that water back up, it's like indebted to you and it will like help you farm and build bridges.
Oh, cool. Oh, sex slave for sure. Kappa sex slave. done. Kill. pterodactyl. It's caused me a lot of pain. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
All right.
Okay. Next question. Chris in the Sheets, Instagram. This is a great question. What makes Patty the happiest other than proving Megan wrong?
I get no pleasure from proving Megan wrong. What makes me happy?
Shall I try and answer this first?
Yeah.
Happy. I know what gets you, like, pumped up. Like, you thrive on, like, pre or post gym endorphin high. I know you get, like, on that.
I like arguing with people. I thrive on combat, the heat of
battle. You do. You do. Makes you the happiest. What makes you the happiest? I reckon, like, a nice Sunday nap would make you quite happy.
I do.
Yes,
I
nailed it!
That's true. I could go for one of those today, actually.
See?
Saturday, but yeah.
15 years of friendship.
I like doing that easy. I like doing things super slowly. That makes me happy. Like, doing things inefficiently. That's why I work in government.
Great. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? Should we...
What makes me happiest?
I mean, it was a good question, but it's not like you're happy as well. Like, what makes you happy? What makes you happy on the podcast first, like in a podcast setting, and then just generally as well?
I love just chatting shit with you, to be honest. Like, I love... Okay, no, this is a good answer. Well, this is a true answer. I and you're going to get complimented here, so just try and keep your smugness in a little bowl. Just try and keep... I find you a very... Like, we're very different people, I would say, as humans. And I think you're very, very intelligent. And I love being able to make you laugh because it means that my jokes are not only funny, but intellectually good enough.
Oh, cool. So I'm like the intellectual limbo bar that you have to clear.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can make a stupid person laugh. But if you make Patty laugh, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Did it.
I think I'm actually funny.
Oh, nice. And in a non-podcast setting?
In life, fucking puppy. I mean, not fucking puppies. Okay, no. Sorry.
Is this why you picked the lion as your...
Gross. In life, puppies. I love dogs so much. I wish I had a dog. I wish I could be around dogs all the time.
Why don't you fucking like dogs?
I live in a flat and I work all day. It'll be lonely. I love dogs so much that I'm willing to put this dog... happiness that I don't even own yet above my own happiness. Wow. Because it would be alone and sad all day. But one day I'll get a dog.
Wow.
Deep. All right. Deep. Next question. This is from Anonymous on email.
Wait, can I clarify one thing before we move on?
Please.
I do like proving people wrong. That's one of life's greatest pleasures, but I don't enjoy proving you wrong so much. Because I like proving people wrong who deserve it. You know, they've said something really dumb and they're super confident in it and they're a bit of a douche. And you just come down with the hammer of logic and you just wreck it. That's one of the sweetest things that a human can experience.
That was great.
Sorry, but let's move on.
Okay.
What was the next question?
Anonymous email. Are you ever afraid on expeditions?
No, never.
Well, you've been on one.
Yeah.
And it was during the day. You didn't want to go out at night.
That strip was stuck. We had, like, a shitty camera. He couldn't do anything at night.
Fair enough. For me, I do get scared on expeditions sometimes.
I know you have been. I have footage of you being terrified. You and your brother.
Yeah.
That, like, baby screaming sound. You shit yourself.
There was wombats coming out of everywhere, and I was wearing shorts, and I couldn't see them, and my torch was crap. I absolutely get scared on expeditions. When I went to Lake Akita to look for Ishii, I snorkeled all the way out and, like, tried to find a plesiosaur, and I was all by myself in Japan, and I was like, if the plesiosaur is real, it could eat me, and no one would know. They'd be like, silly Megan went and drowned or something. Yeah. Nah.
Nuh-uh. I swim good.
I'm a real human. I get scared. I have emotions, but I try and, you know, be brave as well.
Yeah.
Keep at it.
I often get scared. Not often, sometimes. I sometimes, like, will hear something in the house and then be like, there's a murderer, and then get a knife and, like, put it under my pillow just in case. Like, fear is irrational.
I set up little booby traps around my house in case if I'm sleeping in a house alone, like suitcases in front of doors, so if it moves, it will fall over and it'll wake me up, and, you know, shopping baskets in front of the stairs so they'll fall to their deaths.
Nice.
Anyway, okay, so next question. I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but I think it's Iomarsh from Twitter, and it's for you.
Oh.
Hey, Patty.
I'm getting spoiled today.
Hey, Patty, I'm curious. If someone came up to you at a pub, say, and wanted to tell you their cryptid encounter, firstly, would you say yes? And secondly, say they were really emotional when they tell you, you genuinely believe they are not lying, but they are talking about a dogman encounter where they saw it clearly, no mistake. Do you believe them?
Oh, okay. I first of all never come up to me at a pub. I don't like meeting strangers, even when they're introduced by mutual friends. And when they come up to me out of the blue, they have no chance. Not that I would distrust them, I just, it's an unpleasant thing to do. Just in general, as a matter of etiquette, don't do that. Say there was some public forum, like I was at a pub and I had, I don't know, you were a friend of a friend, and there was some reason that you were able to come up to me, and then you told me this story. No, I don't.
Similar question before.
It's similar to the one before. Yeah, like, yeah. I just, someone telling me secondhand what they reckon is the case or what they've seen, or writing it in a sighting online, like, there's just, even if you did everything right, like, you were emotional, you were completely trustworthy, I've known you for years, which, not true in this case, all of the above, like, it's just, it's not enough. There needs to be something I can see firsthand.
What happens when I go and see a cryptid, and I'm like, Patty, I actually saw this thing, like, I saw it, would you believe me?
Well, I mean, you haven't done that yet, so happily I'm not in that position, but...
So I'm going to not get in trouble and say nothing.
Yeah, like, you're right. No, the ceiling, if I knew you, like, if it was you, and if you had, like, you saw it directly in front of you, you still wouldn't convince me, but I would qualify that as very solid evidence.
Very good.
But still, yeah, you need more than just that to be convinced, I think.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Gracie1998 from Reddit says, for Megan, how much do you censor or cut what Patty says?
That's a good question, Gracie. How much do you censor or cut what I have to say?
I definitely censor the C-bomb because we have international listeners.
Because she's a that's why.
Jesus.
Do you bleep it or do you just cut it out?
I bleep it, so it goes, you know, real professional.
That's cool.
I'm a professional. I really don't cut a lot of what Patty says. His opinion is different to mine, but just because I hold all the power doesn't mean I just cut him out.
She threatens to sometimes while we're recording. She's like, I'm going to edit this in my favor. Like, I'm going to make you look like a fucking idiot.
I keep that in though. It's funny. I only cut like jokes where we get real personal with people who might be listening, or real dirty, just to try and clean it up a little bit. Or if we ramble way too much, I'll cut it. But most of the time, I keep it in. Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Cool. Okay, so this is from Bibish from Instagram. Hello. What's it like being famous or well-known? How do you feel when randoms say they like the podcast?
Okay, we're not famous, one. And we're not certainly not famous enough. People come up to us out of the blue, right? Has that happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a podcast, so people don't really know our faces. So if you see us in the street, you can't really be 100% sure. Is that girl from the TV?
Wait, hold up. What? This is a good opportunity to bring up your poster, because that's an occasion where this could happen, right?
Yeah. What? What do you mean?
Megan is going to do a series of lectures coming up soon.
Lectures make them seem so boring.
And they're advertised as, like, Megan, passionate about cryptozoology, host of Cryptid Addicted. So you might, at those forums, have people come up and be like, oh my god, I don't need any Patreon money, but I'm the biggest fan.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, here's an announcement. Yeah, I'm doing... They're not lectures. That makes it sound like a library boring talk.
It's a 45-minute talk. It's big.
Yeah, no, I'm doing a very juicy speech thing on the Yowie and...
Speak good long.
I speak good long 45-minute Yowie. No, I'm doing a speech on the Yowie, the evidence for, the evidence against, what our evidence is, all the research that I've done on the Yowie, I'm going to bring to a conference in 2020 called the Research and Witness Conference. And it's on Friday the 27th, Saturday the 28th of February, and Sunday the 1st of March.
Cool.
So there'll be a booth, there'll be us, or when I say us, I mean me, because Patty's in Australia and this is in England. So yeah, we'll have a booth. I'll be doing a speech. You're very welcome to join. There's tickets. I'll put it around the podcast. But if you're there, come say hi. I don't mind. I'm happy for people to come up and say hi. Yeah. I mean, the second part of that question was, how do you feel when randoms say they like the podcast? We get that a lot. We get people messaging and say they like the podcast.
We get a lot of that.
That fills my little heart with so much joy because it's like, hey, random, that's awesome. We have a shared interest, and that shared interest is stuff I pour my life into and heart and soul, and you like it, and that's awesome. I love that. So
nice.
I have no problem.
For me, it makes me feel about as good as when I'm like clipping my nails and I get the nail all in one instead of having to do two clips. That's about the impact it has on my day. I'm like, oh, nice, and then I move on.
Fucking hell. Unlike Patty, if you're a random and you've seen a cryptid and you see me in a pub, come up and say hi. I am so there for that. Let's get a beer and let's talk about that because that sounds amazing.
Cool.
So we're different people.
We are, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Next question. Emmanuel from email.
Emmanuel from email land.
Email land says, intellectual, theoretical question for you both.
Okay.
Let's say, hypothetically, all cryptids you've ever heard of are known as true animals.
Okay, that's not true.
They are all abundant. Hypothetical, okay?
It's hard to entertain a hypothetical where the public monster is real.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Difficult.
Okay. Here we go. Intellectual, theoretical question.
Okay, all right.
They are all known as true animals. They are abundant, all scientifically recognized, and none of them have any supernatural qualities.
Oh, okay. So Public Monster is out, but most of the cryptids are real.
Well, it's there, but it's some, like, bipedal goat, for example.
Okay, cool.
It's just a known animals, nothing supernatural.
Right. Cool. Interesting hypothetical.
Cool. Amongst this menagerie of animals, if you could only pick one, which would you eat?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I can't believe I hadn't considered that before. Because I like trying different animal meats. Not endangered or anything. I'm not whales, but like...
I had donkey.
Tasty. You've had donkey?
I had donkey in Sardinia.
I had emu the other day. Emu's not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to go first?
Well, it's got to be something sort of meaty, but not fatty. Well, I really like bacon. I shouldn't, but I do. So what's the closest cryptid to a bacon? I mean, to a pig.
A Bigfoot, that's like cannibalism. Like, it's too human.
That's like eating a chimp. That's fucked.
Yeah, that's not good. Ditto, orangutan dick. And you don't want to eat a bird or a bat or anything. You don't want to eat a fucking huge worm. Ringing. You don't want to eat a serpent.
You want to eat a big cat. That's wrong.
Yeah, what else have we got?
Oh, I mean, the Loch Ness Monster is like eating a whale, right? That's a bit wrong.
Ooh, maybe the Oladira.
That's definitely eating a dolphin.
Yeah.
I want a piggy sort of one. All right, I'm Googling pig cryptid. This is what my life has become.
Okay, well, maybe, how about this? I'm not going to pick something for taste. I'm just going to pick something because it would be like, that'd be, if it was real, that'd be a cool thing to have a try of.
Ooh, there's a swine category in cryptids fandom. The Beast of Dean. That's cool. Here we go. The Beast of Dean, also given the colloquial moose pig, is reportedly a cryptid that is said to resemble a wild boar with an abnormally large size. Commonly found in Gloucestershire in the southwest of United Kingdom.
Gloucestershire.
That's not very far. Gloucestershire. Shit, son. All right, I'm going to go with Beast of Dean.
Beast of Dean, tasty. Hmm. I'm going to go Aladira. I'm going Aladira. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's a... I kind of want to try dolphin, but I don't want to do it because dolphins are, like, intelligent and I would feel bad. But I think they're not super abundant. But in this hypothetical, we're told that the Aladira is abundant. And I don't think it's necessarily... I have no evidence to suggest it's intelligent, so I would not feel unethical eating it. It would be an interesting thing to eat. A weird Amazon monster.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good question, Emmanuel. You really threw a spanner in the works. I remember reading that and being like, that is not where I expected that question to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris in the Sheets, Instagram. Megan, what was the reason for moving to the UK? And then Patty, do you think you'll make the move back to the UK?
Oh. You want to go first?
For me, yeah, I moved because I love travel, as you probably know, and Europe is right on the doorstep in the UK. I found that I was working during the winter in Australia, and then when our summer came around, December, Christmas, I was coming to England and having another winter. So it was like back-to-back winter for 4 years. So I thought, instead of holidaying to Europe, why don't I live in Europe and holiday inside Europe when it's like on my doorstep? That's one of the main reasons. There's also just more to see and do here. Yeah,
it's true. It's a little quiet. It's a little quiet in Australia. My part of the question, I would definitely consider moving back to England. I would also consider moving to America or maybe one of Scandinavian countries that speak English. It would be career driven though, if I went anywhere. No, that's not true. I would consider moving back to England just because it's a cool place, or to America, but it would have to at least be career compatible. So if I had a really great job here, I might end up just staying here forever. Well, not forever, but yeah.
Until that changes.
Until that changes, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So they know so much about us. It's so cool.
They do, I know. We've been putting ourselves out there for 2 years, and now people know things.
Oh my god, people are listening? Yeah. Oh shit.
Weirdo.
This is from Bigfoot Babe on Reddit. Patty, do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, but I haven't had a chance to review the evidence because we haven't broached that topic yet.
Murfreesboro Mud Monster was Bigfoot.
Yeah, but that's like, you got me to admit that's probably real, but you haven't got me to believe that these are abundant and widespread and it's all species.
We're chipping away.
I thought it might just be a homeless dude in Murfreesboro, or like a weird, freakishly tall bear or something that walks on its hind legs. Yeah.
Okay. Alright.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be keen to get into it. But there's a lot there. That's kind of why we haven't got into it, right? Because there's, like, so much.
Heaps, yeah. We got to, like, piece it together like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. Maybe even more difficult than a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle.
All black.
If you can imagine such a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that ends part one of the two-parter anniversary special.
Thank you, everyone.
It was so meaty and chunky that we've broken it into two. So this is the end of part one, and we'll see you in a bit for part two. So,
all right. Bye!
Bye!